This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Ganah Shalom, The Garden of Peace by Rav Shalom Arush. We're learning through the Hebrew version of the book, and we're on page 194, talking about the concept of how great Shalom Bayit is and how important it is to maintain it. At all costs, it should be the highest priority in a man's life, a man who's married, a husband. His highest priority above everything else is maintaining his Shalom Bayit. He has Shalom Bayit, he has everything. And he doesn't have Shalom Bayit, he has nothing. Why? Have Shalom Bayit, Hashem is with you. Hashem dwells, Hashem's name is Shalom. The Shekhinah dwells in a house that there is Shalom Bayit. So you have everything you need. Hashem is with you, you have everything. And if Hashem isn't with you, you have nothing. It doesn't matter what you think you have nothing. So it's the most important thing above everything. A person can't fool himself, think that it's better for him to live the way he lives without Shalom Bayit. So he explains now how a man can lose his Shalom Bayit through Gaava. Through Gaava, a man loses his Shalom Bayit. How? So he explains that a person with Gaava, a man with Gaava, if his wife rebukes him, he can't accept it. In order to keep Shalom Bayit, I need to accept it and stay quiet. So accept the rebuke. But if I don't accept it, I'm going to argue back. And then I've lost my Shalom Bayit. What's causing me to argue back? Simple, the only thing that causes me to argue back is Gaava. And that's what I need to recognize, and that's what I need to work on. Ask Hashem to help me. I still have some Gaava. And Hashem will test me at every level. And it doesn't matter where I'm holding. Right? A person who is very far away, so it's easy to trigger him off. You just have to say something small. The wife just has to mention that it would be nice if you put your cup in the sink after you finish using it. Right? Something small, like mine at top. So if my wife said that to me, I'd say, oh, great, okay, for sure. Right, but if I'm far away, I'd be like, oh, no, well, you put your stuff away too, right? Right? I can't accept it without making a comment back, without whatever. But each at their own level. So if I need a lot of work, so I'm going to, every small thing I'm going to take as a personal attack, and I'm going to try and stamp my authority in this house to make sure that everybody knows I'm in charge and nobody tells me what to do and when to do it and how to do it. I'll come back when I decide, not when you decide. When push to your amount. But if he's at a higher level, so I'm going to get tested on something else. Hashem's going to push me to another limit. Maybe I'm just going to, right, the Yitzhahara is going to suggest to me, maybe just add in, maybe you could just say something small, and I really, really want to say something back that's just, but then I've failed. So at each level, Hashem's going to test me according to where I'm at. My job is to know that if I answer back, I blew it. That's my Gaava. My Gaava just caused me to lose my Shalom Bayit.
What if you say yes, dear?
Depends how I say yes, dear. If I say yes, dear, and roll my eyes, I've lost it again. But if I say yes, dear, in a way that makes her feel great, so fine, nothing. As you know, we even our responses. Right, there's a lot. It's quite known that communication is, for argument's sake, 20% in the words and 80% in the way you say it. Right, so for sure that's a main thing in Shalom Bayit. And the wife is far more perceptive than we are. If we think we're perceptive, we can pick up on people the way they're feeling, the way they're talking to us. A woman has bina that we don't have. She has a higher level. So for sure, even if I think I'm being poker-faced, I'd be like, you can't, I'm being, but underneath, she knows. Deliberately, Hashem gave her finer tuning than me to make sure that she can keep tabs on me and make sure I can't fool her. There's no point in me being able to fool my wife. Hashem can't fix me that way. So I'll just fool her and fool her, and I'll lie and I'll cheat and I'll pretend, and she'll never know. Well then, it's not going to fix me. So Hashem makes it that you can't fool your wife. She knows. So if I answer back, it's because of my ga'ava. My ga'ava caused me to lose my shalom bayit. Why? Because I'm going to want to defend my honor. Right? I defend my honor if I have ga'ava. As I sofol it bazot od yoter yoter, then the result will be that I will actually come to get more and more rebukes. I think that the Yitzhahara tells me, if you just defend yourself, you'll put an end to it. I'll just make it clear that that's actually not correct, what you just told me. I don't accept it. And then that will be the end of it. But no. That's going to lead to even bigger. Because if I try and answer back, I'm going to get the full barrage of much more criticism than was going to come up otherwise. Hashem gave it to me. Doesn't come from anywhere. No, absolutely not. Hashem gave me all of my bad midot. He may have created a situation in which he came out. So, for example, if he wants me to be a person who has fear, right? It's a bad midot fear. Fear is, I don't trust in Hashem. I'm afraid of things. Probably it's a bad midot. I need to work on it and have more emunah, right? But how did I get that fear? So when I was a kid, something happened to me. But that was just the outside, the circumstance. The reality is, Hashem wanted me, my neshama, to go through fear and to come out the other side. He wanted to tikkun that. So he created in my childhood, or wherever, when I was born, whatever situation, so that I would have all these midot that I need to fix. By the time I get to 30, 40 years old, and I come to learn that, oh, I actually need to work on myself. So now I've got all these things I need to work on. They came, maybe I can see a route in the past, and what, but the reason is Hashem gave it to me.
Yeah, let's say you pray now for this conception here. So what you said is Hashem gave you like a lot. Yeah. Only can work on him. You lost. Only to pray. Let's say when you keep your eyes. Now you pray, you try not to go in some place, not like a lot. How you can work on it?
Even.
But you keep your situation. The most time is a situation where you're not prepared in this moment. It's come like one second. You're on this. Like,
that's in. I think all of the midot are the same. All of the midot are like that.
Let's say, keep your eyes. You go. You can say, okay, go in this place and not go. I know.
But it doesn't mean that I fixed it.
No.
So the only way to fit it just means that it doesn't. I don't have that. It means that it doesn't test me. Like say for example, I have a meter of being scared of heights. Right? I don't like high. Right? So I don't go to any high buildings. Yofi. I don't fix it. I still have that meter. I'm just not testing it. I still have it. It hasn't gone away.
But you, let's say keep your eyes.
Yeah.
You go in different places, so you have not so much information.
I didn't fix it.
Of course.
The fixing is only in prayer. The same ga'ava with all of them. It's only in prayer.
It's like a lie. When let's say you go in places. I pray, but I can't go this way.
But I shouldn't put myself in danger. Yeah. I shouldn't put myself into a place where I know that I have a problem.
Yeah, of course.
Like Gavad. Nahon Gavad, there's no specific situation where you know it's going to come up, so not to do it. There may be even in Gavad, there's things that you shouldn't do. So, for example, a person who has Gavad, who knows that they need a lot of Kavod, so he shouldn't be a Shiliach Tzibur. Right, they say to you, do you want to be Shliach Tzibur? You should say no. Why? Because as soon as I go up there, I'm asking for trouble. Right? All I'm thinking, I'm not thinking about davening. I'm thinking about, I'm singing well, I've got a nice voice, they're all looking at me. I'm putting myself in a bad position. So even with Gaava, you can say,
they're not? No, I don't think so. Because I say, oh, can make a mistake.
No.
People think about me.
No. People with Vivek Gaava don't care about anything apart from attention. Mamash. Yeah, and I know people like that. The more the better.
Talk. I have my Gaava, but I never, like, when you can give me 1 million, I'm not about to see
Yeah, but that's for a different reason. Your Gaava is not the same. You're not chasing after that type of Gaava. You have Gaava for sure. We all do. I'm not saying you don't. For sure, you have Gaava, but it's not that. It's not that type. You haven't got that type. Gaava is a root of many.
And it's from Hashem.
Yeah. Everything. Hashem gave us Gaava in order to fix it. All of our bad midot. He gave us anger. He gave us fear. He gave us lust for women. Right? You don't get lust for women by learning it from a book or reading it on TV. It's in there. It's in the kishkas. What can I do? Right? Where did it come from? It's not encoded on DNA. There's no gene. There's no chemical in your body that you could isolate and say, this is a chemical for anger. This is a chemical for Gaava. It doesn't exist. It's from Hashem. It's a spiritual need, desire, tendency, mida that Hashem gave me. Can't from anywhere. There's no such thing. You can't find it. You get a microscope, open up your brain, find the bit which shows you Gaava. It doesn't exist. It's from Hashem. Hashem put in me that thing called midot, character that I need to work on. And He takes it away. If it was chemical, so I take a pill and it will go away, because a chemical can fight a chemical, and you can go in and do some surgery and cut it out or whatever. But you can't do that with a midah. It doesn't exist. You can't locate it and deal with it on a physical basis. It's purely spiritual. Hashem gave it to me, and Hashem will take it away, which is why we need to ask Him to take it away, because we can't do it. I can't find it and change it. Yeah.
Most times it's a function, it's a separation. You forgot this moment, everything, when you become Gaava.
Okay. Not fun. Right. Because what's that? That is God. That means basically means one of the ways of that is it's connected to Hashem. My connection to Hashem. My connection to godly wisdom. So if I switch off from that, cut that. Because now it's only me. The person with Gaava only sees himself.
Let's say, before I not complete Shiva, I have one. Less that. So you learn how to how Hashem's way is. So now you understand the whole situation. Understand? Now you know the situation of your wife's now. Say something. Ah, you have to be quiet.
But there's a difference between information and that. So for example, a person who doesn't believe in Hashem has no connection to Hashem at all, and if he reads this book, so he now has information, but he doesn't have that. It's a different thing. That is a godly awareness, is a connection to Hashem. This is information. There's a crossover, and it's not all clear exactly where this stops and this finishes. But it's not the same thing. You can have information, but not necessarily have that. Practically, it might not make any difference. Practically, I do the same thing. The person with that also is nice to his wife. The person without that, that read the book, can also be nice to his wife. So it could be that you do the same things, but you're from a different place.
Before, let's say years ago, you
have not
these things.
Right.
So now your wife act like so. You come like a crazy guy. Now you know to act.
Nachon. Yeah, but I need. Okay, so the truth is that I. But there's a da'at, the da'at is going to tell me to use that. right? Because I can know the information and to use it in a different way. For example, I know that I should guard my eyes. I know that information. That information exists. Can I do it all the time? No. So I don't have that level of that, of awareness, in order to actually put it into practice. So I have the information, but I don't have the da'at to do it. So even in Shalom Bayit, I know right now I shouldn't say anything to you, but I can't stop myself and it's just going to happen.
Yes, but let's say Rabbi gave you the da'at because only to reach Shalom Bayit, this is when you go to pray. Before you don't know. So he gave you the information.
No, he gave me information.
So now you know, okay, I tried. Maybe I will see it's true or not. So you know.
It doesn't mean it's that. So for example, any other information. For example, I know that if I drink this water, it will make me not, if I'm thirsty and I drink, it takes it away. It's good information to know that. It doesn't mean it's that. It means that I know that something works for something. It doesn't mean it's a connection to Hashem. It just means I know that this works. For example, I know that if I'm nice to my wife, she'll be nice to me. It's not that. It's just information, it's like physical information. It's like cause and effect. I know if I do A, B happens. But it's not that. It's not a godly awareness. So it's not really in me. It's I can choose to do it or not. Yeah, Chochma, Bina, that's different. So Chochma is like the information to know it. Bina is like to understand it. Right, I can know that this, for example, let's take this. To drink it and it takes away my thirst, that's knowledge, that's Chochma. That's wisdom. It's like the simple wisdom that if I drink water, it takes away my thirst. That's Chochma. Bina is to understand why that happens. Why does that happen? Because I have something in my brain that tells me when I'm thirsty and then the water comes and it fills. Well, I understand why that's the case. But that is to know the godly wisdom behind it. To know that Hashem wants me to drink water because it fixes my neshama. It's a different understanding.
Teach me Bina.
Yeah. Because you can't learn that. It's a gift from Hashem. So you can't learn it. So when you read it, you didn't get that. Because it's a gift from Hashem. I just read the book. Right? Which I did it myself. I can't get that from reading the book. If Hashem gives me that, he gives me that connection, he reaches out, connects to me, and we have a connection. Yofi. So now we have that. That, what does that mean? That is like we say in Bereshit, Adam Chava, he knew his wife, he connected with her, he joined with her. That is a connection, right? So it's a connection to Hashem. It's not a separate knowledge that's separate from Hashem. This book is separate from Hashem. It's just a piece of knowledge. I connect it to Hashem. I now have that.
And something comes in. Now understand the Hashem, I can see how you come out now from the death to the because when you say Hashem give you this problem, and only when you pray, you can take it away. So
because he wants us to grow. We only grow by being in a hole and digging and climbing out. You don't grow by standing on where you are. You stand where you are. It's only if you're in a hole. So Hashem keeps putting us in a hole. But we shouldn't understand that we keep falling down the same hole, and I keep climbing out, and I fall down the same. Every time we fall, we're at a higher level. We're on a new level. On that new level, we fall, and then we climb up. And then he puts it into a new level. And then we fall. We climb up. But each time we fall, we're falling at a higher level. It might look the same, but it's not the same. We don't stay on the same level. person can fall as well. That's why Shalom. And every time he's falling, he falls lower and lower and lower. But no one stays the same. The Rabbi Nachman writes, the secret to know is that when you fall, you're not falling. You're actually much higher now. And you can only access the higher level by starting off at the bottom. Right? It's like, we know the Sefirot, we're in the Sefirot of the Omer. Right? And we count every week. Every week has Chesed Bina, Chesed Gevura, Tiferet, right? Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut, right? Every day has seven. Every week has seven, seven, seven. What's the idea? The idea is the first week of seven, you go through the levels. And then the next week, you also go through the same levels, but it's now higher. Right? And you do the same, but you go through the, so when you get to the end of the first week, the end of Malchut, to go to the next level higher, you've got to start again on Chesed. So you have to go back to the beginning and start on the lowest level. But you're now in the higher sphere. You're now in the next one up. But you have to start at the beginning one again. So you have to start in the bit. Climb again. So every time you move to another level, you have to start.
Yeah, I understand. This is the hardest point. When you find.
Yeah. And the fall is from Hashem. Hashem put us in the pit. We didn't put ourselves in the pit. We woke up and what am I doing? I'm in a pit. How did I get here? I have no idea how I got in here. Right? Hashem put me in that pit. Why? Because now I'm going to grow out of it. And every time I pick myself up, that's huge.
Now come to salvation. Now come to salvation.
Yeah. I'm no good. I'm right. We chase ourselves. I'm terrible. I'm no good. Nobody loves me. I'm a waste of time. What am I doing? Right. Everyone has that same.
Yeah. That time I was driving car. There was two lines. And half car before him. So he passed me, and I was fast. And then the next seat was two. He came close to me.
Shem has many different ways to.
Which do they say psychologically that people are wired in a certain way for certain things?
They say it, but they say it, but there's no wire. There's no wire. They only express it that way because they don't know how else to express it. Meaning, there's no. They don't point to a wire and say, "This is the wire that makes you hyper. This is the wire that makes you a food addict. This is the wire that they can't." They're describing it that way because they have no other way of expressing how it can be, right? Anyone doesn't know something, they make stuff up. Literally, I'm not just like being flippant. A psychologist has no idea why you are the way you are. So he says, you're wired that your nature is that way. Sit them down practically and say, tell me what you need. Any expert in the world, any piece of equipment in the world to show exactly what you're talking about, they can't do it because it doesn't exist. They're trying to explain something, but it's not based on anything. It's based on, it must be that you're wired that way.
Well, they talk a lot about that in addictions. They say that a person is wired to be an addict.
Right, because they don't know the fact that that's a test from my shit. So what else are they going to say?
Well, they can check that out biologically. They know that. There's something that's going on in your cells.
They can see that the body, like for example, someone who's addicted to sugar, to cigarettes, whatever it is. So for sure, their body responds. for sure the body responds when you eat sugar and or whatever, and without it. But that's not the cause, it's the result.
But they've also done brain studies on that too.
Okay.
They show that there is a wire that you're more receptive to certain things.
Fine, but
other people are not receptive at all, and all of a sudden you've got these receptacles that are up and down.
Okay, yeah, fair. I'm not disagreeing with that. But that's again is just a means of actualizing it in the real world. The reality is Hashem gave me that as a test.
Hashem gave me the receptacles.
Nahon.
So in a sense you are wired.
Yeah, okay, fine. Right. Yeah. But only because he put it there and he's gonna take it away. And no one else is nothing else. And if it goes away, it's because I have a rat's on to take it away. Right? My desire is that it goes away. Because the rat's on is everything.
Only 7% of addicts recover. 93% never recover.
Right, and those 7% probably are connected to Hashem. Six out of the 7% for sure are connected to Hashem in some way, otherwise they wouldn't. You can't do it by themselves. It's not like they recovered automatically by themselves.
If you went back and said that I didn't work on the addiction itself, you worked on Hashem with that person.
Yeah, yeah. So all of the Rabbi Yaakov could tell you, because he's got personal experience in this. But I can also tell you that from friends who've done it, that the 12-step program of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and all those programs for getting off drugs, they're all based on Hashem. All based on connecting yourself to a higher power, because without that you can't. They know that. Practical, that, and that's the most successful MIDOT changing process that exists in the secular world. Is that the most successful? Yeah, but in the secular world. No, because that's because why? Why is that the most successful? Because it connects to our ship. There's nothing else. They tried everything else. They tried mantras, they tried humming, they tried electric shocks, they tried whatever you can think of. And nothing works. Yeah.
He's the head guy. He's great. He's great. He's it's interesting that he's the only rabbi I know that's written the way he writes about things. Because he writes about this, about being forced to do Hashem and all that. You can't close your eyes to that.
Right. So what are we saying? So we're saying about bringing it back to our topic here. We're saying that the husband who has Ga'ava, he's going to lose his Shabbat. Because he wants to keep his own status, he wants to keep his own honor. Doesn't like my, I don't want my honor to be attacked. But if he does that, he's going to get even worse. Not only will he get back from his wife even more, right? He won't finish the argument. He'll make the argument go on and on and on, right? He's going to get more and more bizayon. But not only that, Rav Arash writes, there's no greater bizayon, there's no greater disgrace than to not have shalom bayit. That's the biggest disgrace a husband can have, is to not have shalom bayit. The biggest disgrace is for a husband not to have shalom bayit. Right? There's no more disgrace than that. To know, even just from... not talking from a spiritual, but from a personal, right? To walk around without shalom is like, right? It's killing him, kills him, the fact that he hasn't got shalom bayit. No bigger disgrace than that. And even those in the way his friends will look at it, it's looked at very badly. A person who doesn't have shalom bayit, so a person who has ga'ava, who cares about what other people think. So he's even in a worse position too, because he knows that if people know that I haven't got shalom bayit, it's going to look bad on me. Right? And I care what people think. So
the picture is not flat.
He's got triple, three times the Makkah of the fact that the Galva caused him more criticism from his wife, caused him not to have Shalom Bayit, which is very personally hurtful. And number three, that his friends are going to know that he doesn't have Shalom Bayit and he cares about it, and that's even worse thing. So, Tom, we've reached our time for today. So, you see from here, just in the introduction, that's the only the opening paragraph to what he's saying, that the person who can have that is really going to have a very big problem in Shalom Bayit. But, and he's going to suffer very much. But why? Because Hashem is going to show him that that's not the way. It's not the route.
That's
the Keshe's question of Gava, right? A person who doesn't want to change where they are, because I've got it, everything's fine, now we understand each other, I've got what I want. Like, person knows instinctively, I'm gonna have to do something. I'm gonna have to humble. I'm gonna have to be right. Because we know that the only way of growing in Avodat Hashem is to be more humble, to reduce our ego, to let go, to not right. That's the only way. That's the only way. A person doesn't want to drop that. I like my status too much. It's a Yetzirah. I don't realize what benefit. If I turn from here, if I go from who I am now, which is not who I am, to being Moshe Rabbeinu, it's going to be wonderful. But what do I see? I see the negative. I see I'm going to lose my ability to whatever the Yetzirah was in my head.
He writes in
Gan HaShalom, in Gan HaEmunah, that to talk to Hashem is very difficult for people. People have to give up their Gaava. In order to talk to Hashem, a person has to give up his Gaava. Because it takes humility to talk to Hashem. To admit that Hashem is here, and that he's in charge, to speak to him, that takes, I'm in charge. You want to tell me someone else is in charge? Oh, wait a minute. I can't accept that someone else is in charge. So I can't do that. You've got to do the thing where you talk to Hashem. It's not for me, right? So I can't give up the fact that it's me, and I'm number one here.
But sometimes it's a hard work. Because I was talking with you, and I said, I see now the difference. Let's say, before problem, I get in the book, and I say, it's like a small river. You see, the water is very clear. When you go in, then all the dirt was in the river. You go up. Now you're not seeing the water, it's clear. It was our life. Then you see everything is fine, and you husband, and you keep my eyes. But when you start to walk,
you see, it was all a joke. It was all a
pretense.
Right. Most people would say, I've got control of it. Do you ask anybody and say, yeah, I've got control of it, no problem. Until they read the book and they realize that actually what was I thinking? I had no clue how. It's not far away.
I remember the books that I